I'm Jeremy. It's been an interesting couple of weeks. We had the holidays. We had planned on having a guest today, but that's not, the details have not been worked out yet. So we're still working out some of the security aspects of it, and we have to make sure that we protect everybody and all that's taken care of. So, as you know, we're working those details out. For everybody joining us, that's a work in progress. But we will start that soon. So, how are your holidays?
Very busy.
Yeah?
Yeah. I don't know if you ever cooked a whole Thanksgiving dinner.
No, sure.
No, yeah. You have to have everything and house full of people, you know. Yeah. You enjoy it, but you enjoy it better when everybody's gone and you can kick back and relax.
Right.
So it was good. So how was your holiday?
It was good. We traveled, so I went down to see family. So had a good time to relax. It was nice. We didn't have to prepare a whole lot this year, but there was a lot of drive time involved. So
I guess drive time beats like actually preparing the food and everything. So.
Yeah. It's strange having teenagers that you know, roam about the country. You know, like they go to another city a few days before, another state a few days before you do. So you get down there, they're already there. It's just I'm not adjusted to that quite yet.
No. We had to get over it, old man.
Right. Yeah, I've adjusted to them driving themselves to school and stuff like that, but it's different when you're traveling and yeah. But yeah.
Nervous dad.
Yeah. Well. So yeah, a lot of stuff's happened in the last couple of weeks. You know, we have number of things we're gonna go through today. So first and foremost, what's that?
Yeah, I've just seen the first topic we got here is President Biden pardoned his son, Hunter Biden.
Yeah, so how about that? How about them bears? It's pretty wild. It's a blanket pardon. It's wild because yeah. you've got both sides screaming different things. You have the people on the left that are agreeing with it, saying, "Oh, any father would do it for his son," and you know, and ignoring, just not really saying, "Yeah, he said he wouldn't do it, but what father could watch it happen?" You got the people on the left saying, you know, he shouldn't be doing this. Mm. Then you got people on the right that are just saying, "I knew it. I told you." And the crazy thing is, it's so broad, right? It doesn't just apply. You know, he's been convicted of two charges and pending sentencing, so two federal charges. And one, if I recall correctly, it's one for tax evasion and one for
tax evasion,
right? Lying on a gun application, so a firearms charge. And it was not disclosing that he had a drug addiction at the time, apparently. And so those are the two. Yeah. The pardon that Biden issues is sweeping. It's for anything. It's like for any thought crimes.
Preemptive. Right. Thought crimes.
Right. It's like for anything that he may have conceived of doing at any point in time while conscious or otherwise. But it goes back 10 years. Back to, you know, to like February, this very specific date.
Well,
February 1st, 2014, specifically. Man. And through December, whatever it was, December 21st, 2024.
Well, if you're going to do it right. I mean, you don't want something else to come and bite you that you didn't have covered.
Right. I guess that's one way to look at it. Yeah, well, it's only happened one time before. Apparently, was it Johnson that pardoned Nixon?
Yeah.
And he did it after Watergate because this just to help the country move on, because he didn't want to see federal prosecution rolling against a former president. So Nixon had stood down. He had abdicated the throne.
Well, it was an honorable move. I'll say it was.
Right.
Yeah.
So. He was saving him the the inglorious task of being prosecuted. But this seems a little different because, you know, it feels rich. I'm interested to see how you see this. It feels rich for him to claim that his son was unduly targeted because he's the president, which is the claim. And when it seems like he's had such a, how do you say this, such an effect or such a degree of influence over the politicization of the FBI, the CIA, and the information that comes, that gets turned over when it's discovered, or the prosecutions that roll out, even down in the state level. You know, like we were talking, we have a bicameral system, you know, the Congress, the House and the Senate, and then we have the executive branch with veto that is intended to be a counterbalance. So it's, you know, but we see very clear evidence of the executive branch reaching into the other two branches and executing through.
That's not proper checks and balances.
That is not, that the entire point is checks and balances.
Yeah, that's not proper.
And it feels, it looks like that's been subverted in many situations. And so we're going to cover a couple of them or talk about a couple of them, but I think that's why it rubs people raw. And now they're talking about additional preemptive pardons for members of the administration. So I think I saw Jill Biden's name. I saw Liz Cheney. I don't know.
The FBI knows.
Well, it's just weird because it's like, what have you been doing? Right? Like, what has Hunter Biden been doing?
It makes you ask that question.
We know some of it. I mean, that was apparently the issue with the Hunter Biden laptop.
No.
Was that it had evidence.
Collusion with.
He was on the payroll of companies that he was not qualified for, Ukrainian companies that were paying him exorbitant amounts of money. And that it was providing access to the big man, or providing access to Joe Biden at the time, who was vice president, and monies were transferred. It all looks shady, and it's that's the time that the pardon covers. And so for them to say that the reason is because Kash Patel has been appointed as the FBI director, and Kash Patel has specifically said that he wants to see the things that they're hiding. And if there is something that's illegal, that it'll be prosecuted. For that to scare them says a lot.
Yeah, the only thing they can prosecute Joe Biden, because it happened during his presidency, right?
Well, you're right, because as long as if there is a way that it involved the president's role, then yeah. So I guess technically, because of the ruling that was handed down by SCOTUS for POTUS, by the Supreme Court for Trump recently, I guess the presidential immunity would apply. But the interesting thing is, if Biden, and I heard an attorney mention this, if Biden were to end up, Hunter Biden were to end up in front of a grand jury or a congressional hearing, he would not be able to plead the Fifth, because the Fifth Amendment is there to protect yourself from, it's to protect you from self-incrimination, and he can't be incriminated.
That's interesting.
So it would be like, so tell us what happened. And if he lies or refuses to answer, it's contempt, and it's a crime after the date in question. So the pardon wouldn't apply.
The answer might be like, I have no idea what my accountant was doing.
Right. I have no idea what my right hand was doing. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But my left hand was completely above board. Yeah, it's really strange. I don't know. I do worry about the implications, right, for the idea that every, moving forward, every president might have to hand out these sweeping pardons to members of his administration for fear that the incoming administration might turn around and prosecute. The problem is, if there's something there to prosecute, it should be prosecuted, right? I mean,
they've definitely painted a target on their back with the pardons and everything. I think they're going to, if they don't already know, they're definitely going to be looking deep into it to see what they're hiding.
Yeah, I mean, this is the problem with lawfare. This is the problem with these types of politics, you know, letting politics get to this point, is you can't end up in a situation where the DOJ can be pointed at someone like a gun, or the executive branch, or the judiciary, if I could speak, is pointed at someone and take someone down. We can jump to the topic. I'm not sure that it's certainly involved, but it looks like it could be involved with regard to Musk, Elon Musk, and his pay package being clawed back by the state of Delaware. And he claims on social media that it's a left-wing ploy to just target him, but they pulled $56 billion back from him, and they've claimed that it was fraudulent because he had undue influence over the board at the time that the package was approved.
Yeah, which it's just kind of interesting because he had lawyers and everything draw up the paperwork and everything. I mean, despite that, even when they said that they didn't agree with it, you know, he got a new board that he didn't have any influence over, and they approved it, and they still deny it.
And they did it. Yeah, and the judge said that didn't count. That was actually illegal. They actually did it again. And
you say the third time?
The second time. So they've now approved it twice after the fact, after the initial ruling. And apparently they did it again the other day. So they've tried again to award it under different terms. And when you look at it, you know, the entire he agreed to, initially, he decided to work without salary, and he awarded himself preferential stock that only paid out in the event that the company hit a market cap of $650 billion, which was ridiculous at the time. The attorneys that drew it up, apparently, were quoted as saying, okay, this is crazy, you're never gonna get paid, but nothing illegal about it, go ahead and do it. And sure enough, he did hit $650 billion market cap. As a matter of fact, he's almost about to double it. When we looked earlier, what is it now? It's $1.186 trillion. So it's a...
Oh, my bad.
No, you're good. Here, let me hit one thing real fast. Because it keeps... Yeah, there we go. Duke, drop, and roll. Okay. Yeah, and so it's at $1.186 trillion now, so he's almost doubled the market cap goal for his payout package. And what they're claiming is that it's just too much; it's exorbitant because it's $56 billion. And since the proceedings have begun, his stock has gone up. Tesla's stock has gone up, so that $56 billion package is now worth something like $101 point something billion. So even if they were to say, okay, fine, we'll give it to you, they still cost him $50 billion because they're going to give him $56 billion. Even though apparently they just seized the funds.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a legal expert. It does sound illegal. You know, after it's been approved and everything, can't you just turn around and renege on what you know, and just tie it up?
Well, it seems like Delaware says yes. Yeah, would a new pay package be even larger? Almost certainly. Tesla stock is trading at 15 times the exercise price of stock options in the current package in Delaware. $101.4 billion. So is what they say it's worth.
Who's that from?
This is Associated Press. What's that? Oh, it was from a firm, Equilar. Okay. An executive data firm. So, and a subsequent pay package that would give him 25% of Tesla's voting shares. So, Right now, he holds 13% of the stock or the outstanding shares. Either way, that's just crazy. It's a very interesting precedent to set that we're okay with it as long as you don't make too much money. But if you make too much money, it's just ridiculous. You shouldn't be able to make that much money.
Yeah, it's kind of different though if you're trying to like monopolize something or
yeah. Like
but no, he's just he set the parameters and you approved it.
And he hit it.
Yeah.
I mean, in spades. Right? Nobody thought he would do it. They thought he was crazy. But he saw the market opportunity and he thought it would hit, and it did. So it's interesting.
Yeah.
And he didn't do it by cheating. He did it by making a quality product, right? I mean, Teslas are, you know, for all the challenges with electric vehicles in the first place, it's a good car. They're made well. They're made properly.
Yeah. Oh, you want to talk about the...
They can fall off a 300-foot cliff. What's the guy's name? Here, let's look it up. So, Dad tries to kill family.
Right.
This is from last year, so this is old. Driving Tesla off a cliff, yeah.
I tell you, that's the best ad you could have.
Right? Right? You're not joking. Let's see, USA Today. Yeah, and it was... I wish we could show him this picture because it's crazy. Yeah, that Tesla was trashed. I mean, absolutely demolished. Here, let's grab another site. Let's do... There you go. So, oh, come on. All of these just ads. This is a man who allegedly, intentionally... It says luck. This article says luck saved them. But... Honestly, it was the Tesla, right? The airbags deployed. Dude, mm-hmm. That car is trashed. That's incredible.
Yeah, I would say blessed.
And they have the computer from the car, showing that the dad was driving. And apparently, when the police arrived on the scene, the mom was yelling, "He did it on purpose. He drove off the cliff on purpose." But he drove off of one report I saw said 250-foot. This one says 250-foot cliff, 20 miles outside of. Or 20 miles south of San Francisco, he drove off a cliff trying to kill him and his wife and two children, 5-year-old and an 8-year-old son. And it fell off the cliff, crashed at the bottom, and the airbags deployed. Everyone survived. As a matter of fact, the dad was beat up worse than anyone because he hit the steering wheel.
Yeah, I know they said the son only had, like, bruises.
Right. The son only had bruises. The mom was completely fine. One of the sons had bruises. But no injuries. They didn't even call it injuries. Both of the kids were in car seats, 4 and 7 at the time, so not 5 and 8. And the crazy part is that the wife didn't want to prosecute him. They determined he had a psychological break, and it was not prosecuted. They put him on while the ruling was being made by the court, they put him on house arrest, like an ankle bracelet on him, and he wasn't allowed to drive. Man. It wasn't allowed to drive.
Unless it's a Tesla, right?
Or drink alcohol.
No, he probably hates Tesla right now.
I'm not meaning to laugh about this. It's tragic, but yeah,
well, it's not tragic at all. I mean, they all survived.
No, I mean it's tragic that he tried to kill his family. Yeah. I mean, it's just insane in the membrane. But man, look at that car. That's just wild. Yeah.
Was he a radiologist? Is that what it
was? Yeah, he was a doctor, and apparently he was suffering from depression and apparently psychotic breaks. A murder attempt, but their improbable survival is likely because of luck and a well-built vehicle, experts say.
There you go.
Right. So anyway, the point is that, I mean, any other car, let's be real, any other car... If it had gone off that cliff. I mean, what was that one? Wasn't that one called, like, Dead Man's Curve or something like that?
Was it Dead Man or
Devil? Let's see. Devil's Cliff. Is that what it is? Say Cliff?
Yeah, if either Devil or Dead Man or something like
that. Or Curve. Where am I typing?
Kind of interesting they don't mention it in the article.
Yeah.
Oh, there it is right there.
Was it?
Devil's Slide.
Devil's Slide? Is that what it was?
Yeah. It's like that first paragraph up there.
Where are you pointing to? Yeah, Devil's Slide right there. Yeah, it was a Model Y, and he drove it off Devil's Slide, a 250-foot cliff. That's just crazy. Anyway, so arguably, right, it's a well-deserved $56 billion because the cars, there have been deaths, but they're really safe, right? The airbag deployment, it's got airbags everywhere. It's got airbags for your knees. It's got airbags for your shoulders. It's got airbags for your neck. It's got airbags for your head. It's got airbags on the seat. They're everywhere. So it turns into a big bouncy house if you slam into something. But yeah, that's an over. I'm joking, of course. But all right. So Pete Hegseth and the nominations. So getting into some of Trump's nominations, and we may as well if we're going to. Well, we can get to Kash Patel after this, but Pete Hegseth, he was the Secretary of Defense nominee, and all of a sudden, as soon as he's appointed, all of these allegations start coming out about being drunk on the job. You know, he's been a Fox News anchor for 7 or 8 years, and all these allegations of drinking on the job, drinking excessively at work events, and impropriety towards women and stuff like that come up, but they're all anonymous sources. And nobody's willing to put their name on it and say it's me. And the news reports have just gone crazy with this. They're saying, "Oh, they want to protect their anonymity for fear of retribution." But it's wild. It's like, why are we listening to people who? Why are we listening to the anonymous chatter? It's like on the internet, right?
Yeah.
We're listening to Big Daddy 65 talk about something that he probably shouldn't be talking about in the first place. I don't know. But because everything I could tell, he seems to be a pretty upstanding guy. He really does. Marine Corps veteran. And he was deployed in Afghanistan.
No, he was.
Yeah. And the everybody that's worked with him, people have come out and testified. Like, no, I've never seen him drinking. I've never seen him drunk. I've never seen this. I sat next to him for 8 years. I've never once seen what they're talking about.
So when are these allegations, are they coming from recent? Is this recent or just this
something
that he did like a decade ago?
Well, they're saying it's over the last 7 or 8 years, because he's been at Fox for 7 or 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
So throughout that time, the allegation. But again, they're anonymous allegations, right? I really don't think they even merit focusing on, unless you just want to discredit Pete Hegseth, right? Unless you want him to be painted in a bad light.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to accept that. I mean, like you said, you get it because he's a high-profile person, but
right.
At the same time, you just can't just accuse somebody and
right.
not have somebody there to back up
right.
that claim.
Right. One of the original things was the fact that he was against women in combat-facing positions in the military.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we listened to it. He makes a very solid argument.
I agree with the argument he made.
We had the bar. We had the requirements that you had to meet in order to be
yeah.
an infantry in the combat infantry battalions,
right.
And instead of having women that met the requirements, we lowered the requirements, and it's not served our military readiness or effectiveness. Is his point, and it's hard to argue with, and it really doesn't even get into sexism or discrimination in my mind. It's just a matter of fact. When I was in boot camp, there were different requirements when I was in the Navy, the different requirements for female performance and male performance, which, mm-hmm. of course, that makes sense. But when you're talking about combat readiness and combat effectiveness, the bar is the bar. The bar isn't something you can lower. The bar is, do you die, or does the person you're trying to kill die? And that bar, it's high. And so there's no lowering it. That's part of the point in my mind.
Yeah, that's what he said in the clip. Yeah, if you're a female and you can make it, you know, off that bar, then yeah, you should be there. And then he's not saying, like, they shouldn't serve at all. You know?
But we have situations where there's a number of women, I think, that have made it into the Rangers, that have made it into some of the special forces. But as an example, to my knowledge, the SEALs, the last time I heard, had never had a female candidate make it through the SEAL training, through BUDS.
For clarification, we're not talking about Demi Moore.
Right? Not talking about Demi Moore in the movie. That's correct. All right, let's see. Yes, there are female Navy SEALs, though none have yet to join the ranks as a Navy SEAL. So, interesting. Mm-hmm. First female to complete Navy Special Warfare training. So that's not BUDS, is it? The first woman graduated from Navy's Special Warfare Training Program to become a Special Warfare Combatant Craft Crewman. That's not a SEAL, that's SWCC. This role involves operating boats that transport Navy SEALs and conduct class. That's SWCC. And the difference is that SWCC only goes through half of the BUDS training. So they don't go through, like, Hell Week. They don't go through any of the stuff that is almost impossible to get through. You know, the Hell Week where they're drowning you and you can go ring the bell and get a nice, fresh, hot meal anytime you want. But that's, they've had you out in 20-degree weather.
That's what I saw in the movie.
Right. Yeah. That's the final week of BUDS, which is a 52-week. No. Not 52 weeks. I don't remember the length. I'm speaking out of turn. Here we go. 12 months of initial training, 18 months of pre-deployment and specialized training, a 2-month preparatory course, a 3-week orientation, 7 weeks of basic navigation and water skills, 72. So what they're doing is they're listing the training that they completed, survival evasion resistance and escape training, which is SEER, and a 7-week intermediate level seamanship. This is a cultural course. Of course there's a cultural course. Candidates meet certain... So let's be clear. This is the people that drive the boats, and that's SWCC. It's not SEAL. So they are blurring the lines here by saying this. 8 women have participated in the SEAL officer assessment and selection process in the past 7 years, and 2 completed the process but did not receive SEAL contracts. And they didn't receive SEAL contracts because they were SWCC. You can drive the boat. Yeah, but you're not going to be the one diving down and placing the charges and fighting and infiltrating. And yeah, I'm not mad about this either. It's just this seems ideological. But I don't know. I don't have a particular preference. I think if they can hit the bar, then let them join. But lowering the bar should not be. I don't see that as being in anybody's best interest. Certainly not our frontline troops.
No, I mean, if you don't meet the physical requirements.
Yeah, no. Agreed. That seems pretty open and shut. So. That one's okay. So yes, Israel and Hezbollah. So we haven't really dug into the Israel war issue, October 7th and all of that. But there's been a ceasefire that was negotiated, and since it was negotiated, if I recall correctly, like the day after, they both accused each other of violating it, and they started firing shots across the border, and it was this whole thing. And Trump came out and issued a warning on Truth Social, saying that there will be hell to pay if they don't release the hostages now.
Yeah.
If there are still any hostages on January 20th when I take office, it was something like, there will be hell to pay. We'll unleash the full might of the U.S. of the United States of America in a way that's never happened before, or something to that effect.
Yeah, like they've never seen before.
Yeah. Yeah, Trump. You know, I should not fudge that. I should get that accurate. Oh, that's no. Let's see. Yeah. Please let this truth serve to represent that if the hostages are not released prior to the 20th of January, 2025, the date I proudly assume office as the President of the United States, there will be all hell to pay in the Middle East, and for those who are in charge, for those in charge who perpetrated these atrocities against humanity, those responsible will be hit harder than anybody has been hit in the long and storied history of the United States of America. Release the hostages now. So, yeah, I mean, I agree. There's still a lot of hostages. Aren't there some American hostages as well? Don't they have some American?
I do not know.
Like dual citizen?
I think they do. I think that was a part of it, but I'm not 100% sure.
101 hostages. To use this leverage to resources to return all 101 hostages, living and deceased, to their families as soon as possible. Yeah. Either way, that's it seems like a stronger stance should have been asserted before now.
Well, he's talking about parents, I guess. Someone in the
house. Omer's parents last month at the White House, where they again shared their story. They told me how Omer's grandparents were Holocaust survivors and how their family's strength and resilience has been carried through the generations to all of the families of those still held hostage. We see you. We are with you. And I'll not stop working to bring your loved ones back home where they belong, Biden pledged. So, yeah. Well, I don't want to speak a ton about this. I'm not an expert in Middle Eastern affairs, but.
No. What do you think about his response?
Biden's or Trump's?
Trump's.
I think it's in Trump fashion. I mean, it doesn't surprise me. I think he'll do it too. I think that she'd probably listen. This needs to end. This needs to end. 40,000 people have died on the Hamas side, the Palestinians. Mm-hmm. And we can argue all day long over what's right and what's wrong, but it's not our, we're not there, right? We're not in the middle of it. And yeah, there were a lot of people killed October 7th. It was brutal. And but I think the dying should stop. I like the way Trump said that about the Ukrainian war. I think I want the dying to stop, right? Just so whatever achieves that end, I think is worth it in the long run.
Yeah, but I think we all want world peace, right?
Sure, of course. Well, now, Tennessee.
Tennessee?
Yeah, our home state. Transgender health at issue. So, this one, you want me to introduce it? You want to introduce it?
No, go ahead. You got the...
So, Tennessee has completely banned transgender, I guess you could call it gender affirming care,
right?
Not affirming care. They've banned transition drugs. I pulled them up so we could. So Lupron, Thinsulvi, Triptidur, Suprelin. I can't pronounce that one. I'll try though. Medroxyprogesterone. I guess I can. Medroxyprogesterone acetate, puberty blockers. And I think we've mentioned this before, the idea that they're pausing puberty is, I think, a gentle way to put it. All right, you can pause puberty, you just can't unpause puberty is the problem. If you don't develop, if you're endocrine system, your pituitary system, if all of that, your pituitary glands, if all that stuff doesn't develop the way that it's supposed to in adolescence and puberty, it won't mature and produce the way it's supposed to. So the notion that you're just pausing puberty is, I think, is inappropriately misleading.
Yeah.
But so the case is that Tennessee's passed this ban. There was a transgender teenager who was in transition, and when the ban went in place, they had to stop care. And so they have sued the state of Tennessee. The parents have sued the state of Tennessee to allow their teenager to continue their transition. And one of the things that confused me about the case is the teenager mentioned that they have peers that are allowed to take the drug or drugs.
Hmm.
And they're allowed to continue because they're not doing it to transition, which confuses me. Because if you're not going to do it to transition,
yeah, why are you taking it?
Right. Why are you taking it? Because, like I've mentioned, this is what we give to sexual predators, people that are repeat offenders, pedophiles, people that continually abuse children. Yeah.
Chemical castration.
We chemically castrate them, right? Because it will take away their sex drive. It will render them impotent and unable to. Yeah, yeah. So what confuses me is the idea that there are people that are doing it to not transition. So what are they doing? I mean, what are they just trying to remain adolescent or pubescent? What's the word I'm looking for?
Now they're just trying to be, get little boys and girls and that, given to their sexual urges.
No, I don't think it would have anything to do with the sex drive. I think it would have to do with I don't want to develop as a woman, but I'm not trying to transition to a man. That's what I infer from the idea that the teenager says they have peers that are able to continue.
They're just saying that just so they don't have to go through, you know, the court system or anything like that. But
here it is. Sorry to interrupt. It says, under the law, this teenager can no longer receive prescriptions like puberty blockers or hormone therapy to treat her gender dysphoria. Her classmates, however, can receive the same prescriptions as long as they're not transgender. Which seems weird to me. Why would they need them if they're not transgender? I just don't understand. I'm confused. This is
unless there's something else that it does that we don't know about.
Yeah.
I don't think there is.
Puberty blockers can help individuals explore their gender identity. However, they prevent the production of fertile sperm or eggs. Some people choose to preserve their sperm or eggs before starting puberty blockers. Puberty blockers are generally safe when used on a short-term basis. However, they can have side effects. Insomnia, muscle aches. I'm not going to read all of those, but crying and crankiness is one of those.
I think if they've already been approved and assigned to take the drug, it's kind of, I know some of the states, they kind of like, what'd you find?
Sorry. Children, at what age are puberty blockers given? Children with early puberty are given puberty blockers right away, sometimes as young as 5 or 6 years old. They take medication for a while, then when they stop taking it, puberty restarts normally. Although research with transgender kids is slim, specialists believe the same thing will happen for them. So what they're saying that you can just pause puberty until you're 20 years old and then, okay, let it go? Because I've heard doctors saying that doesn't work that way. GnRH analog therapy, which delays further development. It may be a monthly shot. Okay. How can I delay my daughter's puberty? These are questions.
Basically, just all they're saying is like it slows it down. From what?
Yeah.
What these are saying. It's a quick pause on puberty.
Yeah, okay, so it sounds like there's a chance. I just don't know what I'm talking about, or we don't know what we're talking about. I have heard a lot of people say that you can't just pause it. Now, if that's false, then okay. But I don't know. This is definitely a complex issue. I just, and I know people dealing with it. I'm just not sure, right? I don't, it seems different when you talk about, in my mind, and I would love to know where this is wrong. It seems different when you talk about a minor, a kid who can't get a tattoo, who can't
make any decisions,
drink, who yeah. can't sign a legal contract, who yeah. can't, who can't be financially responsible for anything, who can't smoke because it's damaging to their body, but they can make this decision. And granted, it's the parents making the decision. I get that. But still, it's making the decision to permanently alter the child. If we had a kid who decided their left arm wasn't a part of their body, which is a condition. I don't remember the name for it. But
was a
feeling like your left leg, right?
Yeah, they don't belong to you.
Right, and there's the ideation of amputations and stuff like that. Are we gonna? Would we allow someone to cut a child's arms or legs off because they felt that that's the way they should be?
Some people would say yes.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, man, this is quicksand. I don't know. It just feels. Yeah. It feels.
Feeling normal. I mean, it would seem like no, you wouldn't let them make that decision until they're of age.
Right.
You know, when you can actually enter into a contract. Let's say if they can reach the age of renting a car, which is 25.
Right.
Then you can make that decision.
Right. When you exit puberty, you're fully developed. Right. But, and I guess that's the argument, which is I don't want to develop this way, but I.
If to me, that's too much to put on a kid. They're, like,
I mean, where does this stop? If you don't want to be white, or you don't, I mean, what are we?
Stop.
Right. I mean, what level of control do we want to exert over things we have no control over?
Yeah, I can't remember. Somebody made a point, like a video, like, what if your kid decides that they want to be a pirate?
Right.
You know, you cut their leg. Do you cut their leg off?
Gouging eye out, right?
Or something, right? You know, do they get? Should they make the decision?
Right.
You know, it's Halloween. You know, you're 12 years old.
Right.
I feel like a pirate.
Yeah.
Living this way all my life.
And I know that's an extreme case, an extreme example. It's a ridiculous one as well. But I don't know, man. Puberty is awkward. It doesn't feel normal, right? You feel out of place. You don't feel,
which is normal,
right? It's just, and it's part of, it seems like part of adapting and growing up.
Yeah, your body goes through changes, man. I'm glad I didn't have to watch those like health videos, those weird strange videos we had to watch when we were kids, and I don't know, it was just awkward. But yeah, I mean, your kids don't know. I mean, as a parent, just, you don't shame them. You don't, you know, you talk to them about it.
Right.
You know, you talk to them about your experiences and things. And, like, this is what you can expect. This is what you may feel, you know, you're growing up.
I went through something similar. You'll feel better about it. Just hang in there, yeah. Right? I don't know. I don't know how it gets to where... I don't know how things get where we are. I don't understand.
Mm.
I don't. If an adult wants to transition, I don't understand it. But I'm not gonna cry foul, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
well,
fine.
They're an adult,
right? That's fine. Change your hormones. Change what you want. That's fine. I mean, this kind of gets into all sorts of murky territory. We could get into genetic manipulation here, right? And crossing the germline and
CRISPR,
right? Exactly. But And courts have ruled that you can't do that. You can't genetically modify embryos in the same way you can't clone humans. And they won't, because we can't allow gene edits to cross the germline. Because if we do, and something goes awry, then it's going to be inheritable, right? It's going to domino down the generations. So we've put regulations in place that prevent certain things like that. This feels the same, right? It feels like, I don't know. Do you think it is? I mean, is it different? Is it different saying that we're not going to legally allow doctors to design babies, but we are going to allow doctors to design children?
When you put it like that, it doesn't sound, you know, that different. You know,
I don't know. I'm wondering if it is different.
Yeah, it doesn't sound different, you know, when you put it like that.
Right. Right. And I know I'm kind of reframing it in that, but I don't know if it's different. I don't know, because you're still talking about a kid, and my kid said some really dumb stuff, right? My kid, I've got three teenagers. They regularly say dumb stuff, and they have dumb ideas.
You just want to edit that out, right?
Right. It's like, let's go play Marco Polo in the street. No, you're not doing that. That's stupid. Or let's go swim with the sharks, or, you know, just any type of...
Not until you're 18.
Hairbrain thing. When you're 18, you can go, right, Steve Irwin all you want. But until then, no. It feels like that. But I don't know, man. Murky waters. Tennessee took a stand. Yeah. And Tennessee took a stand and said no. No, I mean, I guess they could go somewhere else, you know, go to another state and get a prescription or something. But I think it's 12 other states have done the same thing.
Point. Yeah, I guess that's another point, too. Like, if you're already on it and you've been doing it, I think some of the states have said that you've been grandfathered into.
Yeah, some have.
Yeah.
All right. I don't remember the state that did, but it said did, but some have. And I mean, I guess I can see that, but I guess it depends on the spirit behind the law, right? If the law is that this is illegally damaging the child, then it would be, no, you stop damaging the child now, right? It wouldn't be, if it's going to take you 3 weeks to cut their arm off and you're a week in, the law says you can no longer cut arms off, we're going to let you go ahead and finish sawing the arm off, you know? You see what I mean? It would be like, no, stop. It's not happening. But I don't know if it's like that. I just don't know. I don't know. We should get somebody in to talk to him about it. Ask him. Because I don't know. And I don't know how much I would agree with him. Mm. You know, how much I would agree with a stance that's it's looking at this in a positive light.
Yeah. Yeah, you can only look at it, you know, like, through your kids.
Right. That's exactly how I'm looking at it. Through the lens of what would I do if my son said this? And they say that if you were to just say, the answer's no, that the child's at risk for suicide and, you know, psychological damage and long-lasting psychological damage. But maiming them doesn't seem to be the answer, right?
Really forcing your child to do things, like certain things that will affect them, it's really a decision they have to come to themselves. You can nurture it, you know, let them make the decision themselves.
Yeah.
You know, but they can't, but you're the parent, right? You're not going to let them do anything until they can actually freely make that decision.
Right, until they're able to, of the age to make decisions. Right, but I mean, it feels like the problem isn't the fact that they're hitting puberty. It feels like the problem is how they're looking at the fact that they're hitting puberty. Mm. Is the way I'm tempted to look at it. You have a framing problem.
Like if you're only focused on like what's on the left side,
mm-hmm.
and you have no inkling of what's on the right side,
mm-hmm.
can you really make a good decision? You have to see what's both on both sides, right?
It's almost like, son, we can choose how to look at this, right? Mm-hmm. And I wonder if, I don't know, because gender dysphoria is a medical condition, right? But is it a medical condition like schizophrenia or multiple personalities or, you know, psychopathy, sociopathy? Is it that type of medical condition? Or is it an involuntary one? Or is it a, I just don't know.
Yeah,
just is it a problem of context, contextualization or framing, right? Like we're just not looking at the problem correctly.
I mean, it could be any of those things. From what I, just for me, this is just, you know, these are all opinions, but my opinion, it's just like if you just see a kid just focusing on one thing, like if all their friends are transitioning, you know, their parents are all happy and, you know, and they see their gender being treated poorly, like, you know, if you have a female and they see all females being treated poorly or something like that, that could be something that's affecting, you know, how they view the world. Like, if you see all your friends and everything having this happy life and about being going through the change or something, and you see that your gender is being put down, then that could affect you.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So, and if you, and that's all you're getting, then of course you're going to, you know, say, hey, that's what I want to be. That's what I want to do.
Right.
They don't realize that there's another path, there's another way. You have to show them, you know, let them see there's more than just what's on the left side. You got to look on the right. You got to see all spectrums of what's happening so you can make an informed decision.
Right.
You know, and I don't think, you know, parents who agree with that, they don't give that their child that decision. So they don't let them make that type of decision for themselves.
Right. It's like, have you seen the South Park episode? Where there's the person sitting at a bar, and he's looking, I think they're looking at pornography, and the bartender walks in, he's like, you can't look at pornography in here. And they say, it's okay, I'm transgender. He goes, oh, I had no idea. Do whatever you want all the time.
No, I had no idea. No.
It's,
okay.
It's comically funny, tragically funny. But I think it I think it highlights an issue or a point, right? Which is,
they make some very social and
that's definitely art imitating life, right?
Yeah.
Right. It's weird because I was gonna pull it up and show it, but it's all good. It's yeah.
Yeah, you know, if you show, you have to cut it in.
Yeah, right. I'll have to change the copyright disclaimer. Right. Well, yeah. So anyway, I want us to not harm kids. And there are examples of people that are detransitioners, right? That have detransitioned or stopped, and they've said, you know, some of them have had double mastectomies. And while it may be true that it's a small percentage, I don't know exactly what the percentage is that ultimately realize they should have not done it, but they realize there's no going back, right? Once you've had your breasts removed, once you've stopped puberty, there's no going back and just jump-starting everything, and they're going to be on hormone supplements and stuff like that for the rest of their life. I think it's a situation that merits discussion.
Yeah. It's definitely something you don't want to rush into.
Right.
Like, just wait.
Right.
You know, wait till you're in college or something. You know, everybody makes their mistakes, right?
Right, I agree. Or it's what your 20s are for. So, U.S. Navy intercepts missiles. Navy shot down missiles launched by Houthi rebels. Preventing so this is attacking the shipping lanes. So there's still issues with our shipping lanes being attacked or shipping lanes being attacked over in the Gulf of Aden, which that's been an issue for a long time now. So, man, there's just, I think this gets into, so we kind of touched on, this is a response to the war in Gaza and Hamas.
Yeah, and kind of a little all over the spectrum right now.
Right. Well, this ties into the backing of Iran and, you know, Houthi-backed rebels. This is all directly related to, you remember when Biden took office, he released the seized funds of Iran. It was like $3 billion. Mm. And so Iran got access to their funds that had been seized by world courts or WTO or whoever it was that seized it. And when they got it, they immediately started funding a lot of these rebel groups. And we're seeing the consequences, right? With the Houthis and in the Red Sea, the Gulf of Aden, the Arabian Sea, the strikes where they're hitting random shipping vessels. And they don't really even care which countries, which countries' vessels they are. They just attack. In some situations, they're blowing them up. They're hitting them with missiles. You know, we shot these down because we, as a response, NATO, but in the Gulf of or the coast of Yemen, the U.S. Navy has attached destroyers to the shipping lanes to patrol the shipping lanes because they situations like this, they have to shoot down missiles. It's crazy. And yeah, I mean, look at that. We're shooting down Iran-backed Houthis missiles that they're launching at missiles. And if we didn't have the intercept systems,
Navy destroyers were in the area.
Yes, they were escorting them because this keeps happening. And so we're talking about a wider issue, which, you know, I've heard it described as the red wave, the started in Iraq with the deposing Hussein, who was actually keeping stability in the region, even though he wasn't the best of characters. And the Arab Spring, the invasion into the Aegean states. See, that's the thing that gets me. This leads us into Ukraine, because for some reason we have forces in this country that have wanted the Ukraine war. They have wanted. They are pushing Russia more and more. At least that's what it looks like to me. Like, we as a country have co-opted this idea that Russia is the red enemy and the commies are going to go down. It's that 1950s mentality and that led to the Cold War. And it's kind of hard to see because, you know, when you talk about Ukraine, that Ukraine shares a 2,200-mile border, and I'm not trying to sympathize with Russia, with the bad guy, but they share a 2,200-mile border. That's akin to if Russia, let's put the shoe on the other foot for a second, if Russia had deposed the government of Canada and started moving missile batteries into Canada, we would flip out. We would be invading Canada, right? And we would take Canada, right? We couldn't let that happen. I mean, we would give it back to them, but you get the point. We would not let that happen. Yeah, we'd give it back to them. Trump was joking with Trudeau. That was a joke. Well, did you hear about that? He had.
It didn't sound like a joke.
But. Well, I think it did sound like a joke, but I think it could have easily not. Yeah, remember he said that he would make them the 51st state, and Trudeau could be the governor.
I wouldn't give it back. I definitely wouldn't give it back.
Dude, that takes some cojones, man. That's funny.
Free healthcare for everybody.
right. Thanks to Canada. Right. Oh, Canada. Yeah, no, but it's this, I think we fail to recognize, because the media here in the States doesn't show us this, we fail to recognize the position that Russia is in. Russia's been invaded 3 times across that border. The last time Russia was invaded across that border, the invader was Hitler. And he killed 1 in every 7 Russians. They lost 1/7 of their population, like 35 million people died because of that invasion across that border.
Yeah, I don't know what that meant.
And now NATO, NATO and the U.S. are sitting on that back porch. And remember, he drew the line and said, if any missiles cross Russian, cross the Russian border, I will consider it a direct act of war, and I'll declare war on the U.S. and NATO. It took Biden 2 days. And we had missiles in place, and we launched missiles across the border. He hasn't done it. And I think there's a chance it might be because he's waiting to negotiate with Trump. I don't know that for sure. But something's keeping him from just going gangbusters, right? Just full all-out war. And the problem is that I don't like the idea that we are either ramping up our military-industrial complex to churn the waters, to, you know, get fresh stock and get rid of old stock, which is what I've heard about Ukraine.
Profit and war.
Right, to generate more profit for the military-industrial complex. But I also don't like the fact that we have Putin's back up against the wall like this, and we've put it there, right? We've been the ones to breach the agreements dating back to the World War II, you know, when Gorbachev backed out of Berlin and the wall came down, and they moved 450,000 troops out of Berlin, and we moved NATO forces in. The agreement was not 1 inch to the east, that we do not move any bases or anything any closer to Russia. We stay there. And we followed it until Clinton.
Yeah.
And Clinton started popping bases everywhere. And if we were to set a base up in Ukraine, that gives us a 3-minute strike distance. And this is not even with hypersonics. This is just with standard missiles. Gives us 3-minute strike distance or strike time on Moscow. Now think about that. That's like them taking over Canada and being able to set up a missile battery in Ontario, right? Right across the lake from New York. We would freak out.
Yeah, we make them the 51st state.
All
right, I'll go stop.
You're such a colonialist.
I want Trudeau to come down here.
Right. Trudeau needs it. Man, him and Gavin Newsom, they should rent an island. I'm telling you, those two are two peas in a pod, in my view. But anyway, like I said, I know I'm not trying to make the U.S. out to be the great aggressor and all that, but I mean, I'm just having a hard time with the situation. I'm having a hard time with us being a global power, and instead of supporting and advancing world stability and peace on the geopolitical stage, we seem to be advocating war and aggression and
destabilization.
And blizzard conditions in places like Erie, Pennsylvania.
And China is watching, right? China is watching, without a doubt. They have claimed that they are the great empire, and they are rising up to deliberately be able to confront the United States, is what Xi has said. And we found out today, I don't know if you saw the news report, we found out today that China has compromised our telecommunications networks. They have hacked AT&T, T-Mobile, Verizon, and all of the major telecoms.
Not anything about today.
And we have people saying that we have to consider this an act of war because it's a first strike. And they have cell phone information. Here, let me pull this up. China hacks U.S. telecom networks. Chinese hackers stole large amounts of Americans' phone data from 8 telecoms, hacking campaign that has spied on the texts and calls of U.S. citizens by hacking telecommunications companies is significantly larger than previously known to the public, a top White House official said Wednesday. At least eight American telecom companies have been compromised, a deputy national security advisor for cyber and emerging technology at the National Security Council said in a press call Wednesday. Dozens of countries around the world had been affected. Another official on the call said that hackers had accessed a large number of Americans' phone data, though not everyone in the country, as part of an effort to identify people who could largely be targets for more invasive spying. Advanced hacking teams can be persistent and lurk in remote corners of vast computer networks. The U.S. does not believe any of the U.S. telecoms have fully booted the hackers. There is a risk of ongoing compromises to communications until U.S. companies address the cybersecurity gaps. The Chinese are likely to maintain their access, she said. China frequently denies responsibility when accused of using its vast cyber espionage teams to hack into Western targets. In an emailed statement, a spokesman for China's embassy in Washington said China firmly opposes the U.S.'s smear attacks against China without any factual basis. While cybersecurity companies have for years warned of China's targeting telecommunication systems around the world, the U.S. views this campaign, referred to by Microsoft's nickname Salt Typhoon, as beginning within the past 2 years. And this week, they seized more. Salt Typhoon, an FBI official, said the hackers were primarily interested in the call records of people in the Washington, D.C. area. The FBI is in the process of notifying all Americans whose calls it believes were compromised. The Harris and Trump presidential campaigns had told NBC News they were compromised, as was the office of the Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer. The agency does not plan to notify all of the Americans whose calls records were accessed, however, the FBI official said. So what they're saying is that they've compromised integral networks throughout the country. You're talking about waterworks, sanitation. You're talking about power plants. You're talking about pipelines. And that they are lurking so that they can maintain a first strike capability. So in the event that they decide to attack, which they are claiming to be building up their navy and army with the expressed intent of being able to confront the West and confront the U.S. and match the U.S. At the same time, we have all of this hacking going on in the background, and they're saying that they're not doing it, but it's that's first strike type stuff, right? The first thing you do is shut the lights off in an attack.
Yeah.
And
I wonder if dangerous. That's like the same, like data breaches and things that they had, like where AT&T, I think that was for the last year of like 74 million people had their accounts hacked.
Right.
You know, and they were giving out, I guess, sending out letters for you to sign up for the, identity theft, things right. like that. So I guess that's what.
Right.
So that's new to this. That's not like what was ongoing like a year ago.
Yeah, no, this just happened this week. Was it today? One day ago. Have infiltrated at least eight telecom companies. Telcos compromised. Chinese espionage campaign scooped up data on thousands of Americans. Large numbers of Americans' data stolen in worst telecom hack in country's history, say U.S. officials.
It seems like this is an ongoing thing, though.
Yeah, this was yesterday. So a Senate subcommittee will be meeting on December 11th to review best practices. The extent and depth and breadth of the Chinese hacking is absolutely mind-boggling, said said Richard Blumenthal. Yeah, it's crazy. They've repeatedly denied it for quite some time, and they turned around. Today I saw they imposed 13 sanctions on the United States, on specific companies within the United States, and they are threatening to withhold key materials that we need for manufacturing and production that we buy from them. Mm. So for quite some time, the U.S. side has been floating all sorts of disinformation about threats of Chinese hackers to serve its own geopolitical purposes, Liu Pingyu said, spokesman for China's embassy in Washington. China firmly opposes and combats all kinds of cyber attacks. The Chinese embassy in Washington rejected the accusations that it was responsible for the Salt Typhoon hack as well. U.S. needs to stop its own cyber attacks against other countries and refrain from using cybersecurity to smear and slander China, a spokesperson said. Then you have a situation, what was the country, not Venezuela, expels Chinese ambassador? If I could type.
You almost got it.
Right? If I could just type. Paraguay. So, Paraguay decided to expel. There we go. There's the Guardian. Let's see. Yeah. So Paraguay has expelled a Chinese envoy for allegedly interfering in domestic affairs and urging the South American nation to break off ties with Taiwan. So they were there for an annual UNESCO meeting. And the day before, Zhu, which was one of the representatives in the envoy, skipped the UNESCO session and instead turned up at the Congress in the capital of, I can't pronounce that, Asunción. I keep saying that, but then I pronounce it. Where he caused a diplomatic stir by calling on Paraguay to ditch Taiwan, the self-governing democratic island of 23 million people that China claims as its territory. Paraguay is the only nation in South America and one of just 12 worldwide that recognizes Taiwan as a country. The Paraguayan government has stayed firm in its commitment, even as Beijing ramps up its lobbying of foreign counterparts to stop recognizing the island. Yeah. Four countries in Latin America have cut ties with Taiwan in favor of Beijing, whose one China principle forces countries to choose between having full diplomatic relations with China or Taiwan. From the halls of the futuristic Congress building in Asunción that Taiwan helped fund, Zhu stressed Beijing's interest in establishing relations with Paraguay, but said the onus was on officials in Paraguay to make the first move. It's either China or Taiwan, he said. I recommend that the government of Paraguay make a correct decision as soon as possible. And they said, get the heck out of my country. They literally expelled them. Taiwanese embassy in Paraguay lashed out at China on the social media platform X, calling Zhu an infiltrator who seeks to undermine the firm friendship between Paraguay and Taiwan that dates back to 1957. So, yeah. And then Lithuania. 7 days ago, expelling three Chinese embassy staff. So things are. This is Reuters. Declared three staff members of Chinese representative office in the country a type of diplomatic mission as persona non grata, its foreign ministry said on Friday. The ministry cited violations of the Vienna Convention and Lithuanian legislation as the cause, though no further details were provided. So the 1961 Vienna Convention outlines the rules of diplomatic law. The staff have been instructed to leave Lithuania within a week, the ministry said in a statement, exacerbating sour relations between the two countries. China's representative office in Lithuania cannot be immediately reached for comment. So, yeah, it's like, I don't know what... I don't know what's... It just... There's... China's getting more... It just feels hostile, a lot of it. And I don't know how accurate it is. And I want to know how accurate it is, you know?
Yeah.
You just... Anyway.
Yeah. And it's the first time I'm hearing this. You said this happened this morning.
Yeah.
With the hacking and everything.
Yeah. That was either yesterday or this morning. I think they announced it today. But, yeah, it's just wild. So...
Yeah, what do we get from Taiwan? Semiconductors.
Semiconductors. Yeah. Oh, man, 90% of the world's semiconductors come from Taiwan. Mm-hmm. And the challenge with that is a lot of the raw materials come from China. And we have mines here in Ohio that can be ramped up to mine the materials that we need, but they're not in production right now. So those mines are not active. So that appears to be one of our needs, is to ramp that up and get those mines going. But it's just, I just keep saying, it's like there's this predetermined I don't know why things have to be conflict oriented or combative with China, right? It does not feel like it's in anyone's best interest. It's the same as the Russia proposition. It's not in any of our best interests to fight. Why can't we all just get along? But
I agree.
Yeah. All right. Well, we will continue to endeavor to bring our first guest in, and if not, we'll be back next week. And do you have anything before we wrap up?
No. I think we hit on some very poignant topics, and I know it's a little different from the norm what we usually discuss.
Yeah.
I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, I felt like we could just kind of cover some topics and get some stances on it and see what we think and, you know, volley it back and forth. So anyway, well, thank you for your time. I appreciate it. We've gone a little long, but that's okay.
Oh, yeah. It's getting late, man.
It is.
Yeah. I don't know what time it is. But
it's late.
Yeah, it's late.
Let's go with late. All right, brother. Thank you. And we'll talk next week. Have a good one.